It is my pleasure to introduce to you Sherry Rigby, actress in the film October Baby. Her topic is My Journey to Healing Through October Baby.
She has a personal story that is very powerful, shares her time and talent with organizations that empower women and children, and we are honored tonight to welcome this evening Sherry Rigby.
Well, good evening. How are you tonight? I'm not sure I can follow that up, but I'm going to try. You know, it was such a blessing to hear the music, because today, every time that I go into speaking, I really spend my day praying and really coming to a place where I ask the Lord to spend time with me and really give me an opportunity to hear what it is that He is going to speak and what He speaks to my heart. And I love that what you were singing, because I got a little stumbled today, because I turned on my worship music and He took me to Christmas songs. And I thought, we're going into Easter, Jesus. But okay, I'm in Cleveland and it's cold. But the song that kept resonating to me, and the message that kept being laid on my heart by our Savior Jesus Christ, was "Hark, the herald angels sing." Christ is born. You know, I think before that night, can you imagine what the world was like? He did, and that's why our Savior Jesus Christ was born. Amazing. And then in another song that came up, the words in it said, "Endless joy started with a baby boy." Isn't that the truth? And what are we doing here? We are celebrating life, babies' lives. Thank you, Cleveland Right to Life, for having me tonight and to share about the beautiful babies. Rachel, thank you for you and your family for blessing me and sharing your time with me. Thank you so much. And to our family that are here, Molly, thank you for the time of you and I having just a little bit, but enough to know that you're a really cool lady. Yeah. I also, when I pray, I always ask the Lord to give me a verse that speaks directly to what it is that I'm going to be speaking tonight. And because my message to you is about grace, mercy, forgiveness. And what the Lord gave to me was Zephaniah 3:17. It's probably one of those verses in your Bible that stuck. I'm always amazed when I get to go back and read this verse. But I'm going to read it for you. Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is in our midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." Amen. Amen to that. Right? I just want to thank the Lord as I go into my testimony tonight that He is a drink offering, and thank you. Thank you to Him for having His living word for us. It is such a joy to be blessed to have and renew our minds every day. Well, that takes me to October Baby. How many of you have seen the movie October Baby? Yes. All right, my job might be done tonight. And, you know, October Baby is just, it's such an incredible film. And it really, really spread so many things out there. It touched on adoption. It touched on the beautiful relationship between a young woman and a young man as to what that should look like in today's society. It touched on the relationship between a father and a daughter. It touched on forgiveness for a post-abortive woman. October Baby is a life-affirming movie. It's a story about Hannah, who learns from her parents that she was actually adopted after a failed abortion attempt. Hannah embarks on a journey to find her birth mother, to find me. The most amazing part of this film is that it actually parallels a part of my life and many men and women's lives. I was invited here tonight to tell my story because of the testimony that was given at the end of the film and how many lives were affected by that moment. It was truly a God thing. You see, I stand before you tonight as one of 57 million post-abortive. 57 million women, 57 million men, grandparents. I loved coming in last night and listening to the beautiful Lila Rose, and she continued to mention the women that were hurt by abortion. And it moved my heart to see that there was a thought of the women and men that grieve in silence, and that we do not forget them. But yet, we remind them that by their testimonies, they will come, as it tells us in Revelation. And that is truth. Don't you just love when God shows up? He shows up big. I mean, our Lord and Savior, He does nothing on a small scale, right? I just love that about our Lord and Savior. You see, as Beth Moore says, Christ is walking through crisis or difficult times in our lives, dressed in the best disguise of all, ordinary events. The night a babe came and was born in a manger. That was no ordinary event. You see, ordinary events, though, I relate to making movies. We do that 365 days a year, all over this world. Well, most of us in the industry, though, you see, we are watching from behind the scenes. We are watching what's going on, the Irwins, and what you saw here earlier, crescendo. We see people like the Kendricks and women and men that have been prepared to tell the stories of man's depravity and the loving, loving blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't you just love how Toby Mac and so many have just reached the secular top? I mean, they are the ones that are penetrating people all over this world, in the secular world. It is an incredible thing to me as I watch what's going on, and Hollywood is coming up. Believe me, as many of you don't know, and I pray and I ask you to pray, do not divorce Hollywood. Pray for it. Pray for it. Pray for the people that are underground. You see, there are so many believers in Hollywood that are just waiting. It's bubbling up. Our day is coming. Our God is coming. And in the time right now, He is using mass media to tell the story once again of depravity and our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. And we must continue to pray for people in this field and in the media. As I get ready to share more with you on my story, I'm going to take you on a journey with me tonight as I share the journey that I've gone on for over the last 20 years of my life. It seems like an awfully long time, but I guess if Sarah can wait, who am I? God weaves everything together for good. A couple years ago, I started a small women's group in my home called the Women in My World. It meets weekly in my home, and since I've began this group, I've led on Identity, Gifts of the Spirit, and right before Christmas, we started the study Esther. It's Tough Being a Woman by Beth Moore. How many amens can I get to that one, sisters? Plus, I've also worked through the post-abortive recovery study called Surrendering the Secret by Pat Layton. Again, don't you just love how our God prepares us for what's coming our way? You see, He needed me to digest, journal, and lead on the very things that I was going to be here and speaking with you tonight. You see, I love how our Lord does that. He doesn't just throw us in, but if we're willing and we are ready to get out of the boat, He is willing to take us on a journey that you will never forget. I love when people think that when you become a believer in Christ, it's going to be boring. Not for 1 minute. That leads me to timing, circumstances, endurance, strength, prayer, faith, and forgiveness. You see, these seven things God has taught me over and over again in my life. Walking through the Bible, God shows us again and again, men and women, He is called to wait on His timing. His timing was needed to go hand in hand with the circumstances. And throughout circumstances, He calls us to endure, be strong, and pray without ceasing, and have faith that does not waver. Believe me, I pray all the time, God, you took me to Hollywood. I'm not 20 years old anymore. You see, in Hollywood, my time should already be expired. In fact, to most of them, I should pack it up, leave, and go someplace else. But you see, truly, I have just begun. He also took me to Hollywood in the time when we went into the so-called recession that we felt. And that was a hard thing to tell my husband, guess what? God's calling me to Hollywood. And he looked at me and said, what? You see, my husband, he's in the agricultural industry. You didn't know that you were going to get a woman that could get up here and talk Kubota, John Deere, Case International, every kind of tractor part and every kind of anything you can think of in the agricultural world, did you? But I can, and I'll never forget his face looking at me and saying, you want to go to Hollywood? How am I supposed to sell tractors in Hollywood? And I said, God knows. And he did, that's for sure. I have to give you a little bit of a backstory here as I go in. I grew up in a little town called Cooperstown, North Dakota. I hail from the Great Plains. It was a town of about 1,500 people, one stoplight, one movie theater, a little restaurant, and one little tiny store and a courthouse, not a whole lot there. My time was spent in the local movie theater. And when it rained or snowed too much, they actually would condemn it and tell us that we couldn't come in because the roof would collapse. My other time, my father was the sheriff. And my mother, she cleaned the courthouse after hours to make a little extra money. And I would spend my time in the jail cells that sat underneath the courthouse. So I either lived in front of a movie screen or I lived in a jail cells, living in a make-believe world. Well, you see, my family, they loved me so much. They believed and they think, wow, you know, Sherry's got big dreams. You can be anything you want, but that's a big dream coming from Cooperstown, North Dakota. And they always encouraged me. But you see, I have to tell you, when God starts something, He finishes it. I was back in Cooperstown, North Dakota at the end of October last year in 2012, and I got to stand in front of the movie theater that I sat in many, many times, and the passion had been born in me to be up on that big screen. And I can tell you that October Baby was on that screen. You see how God starts in a little girl, and He is the one that finishes it. That is an amazing journey. I was so proud. Boy, to think I had made it to the big screen. Thank God the movie theater hadn't been condemned that night when October Baby was showing. My mother, she was a Sunday school teacher. I was introduced to Christ at a very young age. But you see, at that time, the only thing that I really was able to get my mind around was the stories of Jesus and these little grape sandwiches that I so loved on Sunday mornings. That's what brought me back every Sunday. I didn't know who my Savior was at that point. My father and mother decided down the road that it was time to leave North Dakota, and so they packed us up and moved. It was 69 below windshield factor, and they moved us to Phoenix, Arizona. I know, you're all thinking, what were they thinking? But, you know, it was a great adventure. We got there in 1979, nobody do any math. My father, he jumped right back in and became a highway patrol officer. He was a silent warrior, I called him. He was serving his people well. 32 years on the force. My mother, while she was a little fish in a big pond, you see, we really literally moved to the concrete jungle, and at that time it was in its boom. And she had lost all of her footing. She just couldn't get a hold of herself. And as time went on, my mother started to lose the grip of her family. And so eventually what she did is she knew, though, the place that she needed to return, and that was back to church. And she took her family to a church. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was 13 years old, and I was sitting there in this pew. And I remember this pastor coming out, and he started teaching on heaven and hell. And at 13, all I could think about was that I didn't want to go to hell. And so I raised my hand, and I accepted Christ. But you see, in that moment, I didn't know who Christ again was. All I knew is I didn't want to go to hell. But you see, as our word in the Bible tells us, the moment that we commit our life to Christ, we are His. And you see, I was starting the next journey of my life, not walking with Christ, but Him with me. You see, as my adventure went on, I began not to go to youth groups, not to get involved in my church, but I found my solitude once again, and this time I was finding it in roaming the streets of Phoenix, Arizona. By the age of 14, I had lost my virginity. I was smoking cigarettes. I loved rock and roll, lots of makeup, and tight clothes. I was running with the wrong crowd, and I found myself going deeper and deeper into things that I should never have been in. By this time, I was in a relationship with a young man. And see, back in those days, we didn't talk about abusive relationships. In fact, we didn't talk about that a whole lot at all. And that's exactly what I was entering into. I was a young girl that had no high school life whatsoever. I had a young man that I dated that threatened my life every day. When I tried to go to a high school dance or a football game, he was there, reminding me who I was. Eventually, as he had threatened a young man's life that would come close to me, I knew, or at least I thought I did, that my life wasn't going to go anyplace else. And so by the age of 16, I decided that I would marry this young man because I had no other place to go. At 17 years old, you see, I really was one of the girls in my high school that was the top of my class. I could have gone to any college, received any scholarship that I wanted. But by the time I was 17, I was pregnant, married. I was an embarrassment to most and a burden, and the school asked me to leave quietly. And that's exactly what I did. They sent me to a pregnant school for young women to keep quiet, and I continued to work and graduate with honors. I got to my high school graduation, and I had convinced them to at least let me walk the aisle. And I walked at that point with a diploma in one hand and a 5-week-old baby in the other. My oldest son today is 25 years old. Praise God for him. You see, we don't know why always that things happen. But God does. And you see, at this moment, I wasn't sure where that was all going to go in my life. But truly, my 25-year-old that I am so blessed to have raised has been my lifesaver. And I know that he is who brought me through so many dark times. There was a line in a movie recently, and it said, "To love the face of another
is to see the face of God. That's what he was for me. As my life went on, I found myself raising a child, not knowing too much what to do. I dove into drugs with my ex-husband at that point because I wasn't coping with life. I just tried to keep my head above water. I tried to keep my parents and everyone at bay because I knew the silent warrior, if he found out, would come in and take another's life, probably, and be sitting himself behind bars. So until one night, I found myself in a terrible, tragic place, not knowing which end was up anymore, whether I was going to live or die. I found myself in the bathroom on my knees, praying out to God, and I said, "If you are there, please, if you are there, I need you." And then within 3 days, I received a phone call, and I had my first modeling job. And God showed up. And this was the reversal of my future. You see, I came back from this job thinking that life was going to change and everything was going to be perfect. Things were going to take a new turn. But what I found was an empty apartment that was destroyed. I will never forget. In that moment, I had to make the choice for my 18-month-old son to either stay or leave, live or die. But it was going to have to be one or the other. And so I chose to leave. As time went on, God protected me. You see, he never let go of me. And I walked and I decided that I was not going to be a failure. I went back to school. I got my degree in legal studies. I went on to work for one of the largest law firms in the state of Arizona as a paralegal. It was amazing. I had the 20th floor in the office of in the corner, overlooking the city of Arizona, Phoenix. That was impressive, or so I thought. You see, everything was looking really good on the outside. I was doing all the right things, but the inside hadn't been taken care of yet. I found myself in another relationship, and this time I was dating a young man, not quite as bad as the first, but close. And eventually I found myself once again sitting in a bathroom, but this time I sat facing the wall on the back of a toilet, looking down at a pregnancy test. And you see, nothing ran through my mind except I could not be a failure again. I could not have another finger pointed at me or say, "She'll do it again." And when that positive came up, I knew that that's exactly what was going to happen. And before I could even get the words out of my mouth, the young man was on the phone calling a relative, scheduling my abortion. There was no discussion of a baby or a life. I was just too ashamed to be a woman to give birth to another child, to another man. And so I was ushered into the clinic and I was given a pill, went to sleep, and when I woke up, they said it was all done. To this day, I can't tell you what kind of procedure I had. He took me home. He ordered pizza and he turned on Seinfeld. That was my healing time. You see, God works in mysterious ways because until I moved to Los Angeles, that young man moved next door to me and lived there until that day and I watched him raise another child. We never spoke of our baby ever again. Eventually, I found myself once again asking God, "Please, what's wrong with me? How could I be so bad?" I went to bed and I had a dream of a man that I was going to marry. I woke up and I thought, wow, going to bed crying and being a little depressed can work out sometimes in your best interest. And 3 weeks this time, my phone rang
And it was my husband that I've now been married to almost 16 years. Yes. Praise God. His name is Matthew, and as we know in the Bible, his name is told to us as a gift from God. And that's exactly what he is to me, because you see, he was the reversal of my destiny. And he called me, and we started dating. And by the second actual date, as you guys now call it, hanging out together. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. He said, "Sherry, I'd like to take you to church with me." And I said, "What? Do you know who you're asking to go to church?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And he took me to church, and I'll never forget. I was so scared, and I walked into that Calvary Chapel, and a pastor walked out. And I'll never forget seeing him. He was just radiant with light. And he got up on the stage, and he started preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he shared the message of grace and mercy. One of the greatest things that ever in cinematography history has been done was Mel Gibson. And we know scripturally it doesn't say Mary Magdalene reaching for the feet of Jesus. But what we do know is this, that Jesus stood in front of the woman, stretched out as east is to the west. And he stood before her as saying, "I will die for this woman." And that's what I saw in this preacher that stood before me. He was sharing the message that Christ had died for me. And I knew in that moment that I had to know him. And I rededicated my life to Christ. And you see, in that moment, as time went on, I thought, "Here we go, God, here we go. I'm going to be a married woman. I'm going to raise my child. I'm going to have lots of babies. I'm going to be a good church girl. I'm going to go to Bible study. I'm going to do it all right this time." And that's what was going on in my world. I had everything. In fact, my husband and I, very shortly after we were married, we ended up getting our little boy, Levi James. He is now 13 years old. He is blonde, green-eyed, and crazy as can be. And I know he's straight from God. We thought more will be coming. My husband and I, we started a coffee shop in our church called Hebrews. And I know. You know all those names in the book of the Bible for some reason, right? And Hebrews is a great one. And I'll never forget my day in Hebrews. You know, I'd be in there pouring coffee and serving, and I loved it. And eventually we were waiting for our next baby to come along, and waiting and waiting and waiting until I received my next phone call. "Sherry, I'm sorry to tell you, but there's not going to be any more babies. You've had a lot of damage that's been done inside. We're sorry, but those days are over for you." And I'll never forget going, "God, what do you mean it's over?" And as one day a gentleman walked into the coffee shop and I was pouring coffee to this man, I'll never forget, he looked up at me and he said, "Hey, have you ever thought about doing commercials?" I looked at him, I'd put my coffee down. I looked straight up and said, "Are you kidding me? Commercials, babies. But God knew exactly what he was doing. And I went on that commercial. I stepped out of the boat as God called me to do. I was scared. I got it. And that started my next journey with the Lord. He opened up doors. I was everything from commercials. I was working for American West Airlines and Suzuki and you name Blue Cross Blue Shield, you name them, and I worked for them. And then print catalogs and sci-fi independents coming through town. And I knew that God had another adventure for me. And this time I was going to be a superstar. Or at least that's what my picture showed me. And so everything was going so good. 2008 rolled around, and I had been called to Hollywood for testing for the Young and the Restless. Wow, I had made it, Young and the Restless. Whew, I got there and I booked the role, started filming, got a phone call from the Irwins. Hi, Sherry. John Irwin here. Have you ever heard of the band Slow or Casting Crowns? Well, they're doing a new video called Slow Fade for a new movie called Fireproof. And we would love it for you to come and work as our actress. We're going to film it film style. Wow, are you kidding me? Casting Crowns, my favorite band of all times. Sure, Young and the Restless, Casting Crowns in Alabama. I have got this. I'm going. I'm going to be a star. It's all there. I go to Birmingham, Alabama, and I film Slow Fade. And as I'm getting on the plane, Andy Irwin looks at me and he says, Sherry, remember when you're doing things for God, Satan is going to show up. And I thought, okay. Well, you see, I had to slip back home again before I went to Los Angeles because I had to go in for a routine hysterectomy. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to, this will be quick, and I'll be out, and I'll be back in Hollywood before anybody knows what happened. I went in Thursday morning. I literally got off the plane. Thursday morning, I'm in the hospital. And by Sunday, I am saying goodbye to my family. You see, I had gained 30 pounds of water weight in 48 hours. Ladies, you know what it feels like for a few. 30 pounds. I went into renal failure. They had a cardiologist, if any of you are doctors, standing over me because they were giving me medication that were for cancer patients because of the pain. My back actually sloped to the outside, not to the in. They didn't know what to do for me. Until the next morning, a urologist came in and he took one look at me and he said, if we don't take her in now, we're going to lose her. And he rushed me into surgery, and I'll never forget waking up, and he was standing over the top of me as I woke up, and he said, Sherry, he said, truly, you are a miracle. He said, or at least your bladder is. Mm-hmm. They drained liters from me. Liters. You see, there was no more Hollywood. It was 8 months of recovery and 4 surgeries to take care of the damage that had been done. My journey, as you would know, had taken another turn. But you see, what I didn't know in that time is that God was preparing my heart, people's hearts, for a movie called October Baby. He was writing a script that wasn't done yet, and he needed time. I'm not sure it was what I would have called a fun time, but it was his time. And as I went through that journey with him, I came to the point and I said to my husband, after all of these months of recovery, at the end of 2008, as I heard a message delivered by a pastor, as I walked into a message, and he says the first thing out of his mouth is he said, Through your weakness, I am the strongest. And I looked at my husband and I said, we must go to Hollywood. I have been called there. And again, my husband looked at me like I was a crazy woman. But he knew in 2008, our world had completely fallen apart. And he listened. He knew. And we went to Hollywood in 2009. And we worked hard, and God literally opened every single door that could have been imagined. You see, my husband sells tractors equipment in Hollywood, California, and he has now 4 companies. Can you imagine? And I have had the opportunity to be in faith-based movies telling the story of depravity and showing the redeeming love of Christ. As I was driving down the 101, thank you. Driving down the 101, I look down and there's my phone ringing again and it says John Irwin. And this time, I don't know if I want to answer that call, but I did. And I picked it up and he said, Sherry, we have a movie script. And he said, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I'm just going to send it to you. I want you to read the movie script and there's a part in it. And this is her name. And if you think that you might like this part, we're going to offer it to you. And I thought, are you kidding me? You're going to offer me a movie role? I am nobody. And I was so excited, and I got home, and my husband was more excited than I was, because here it was printed out, all neatly laying on my counter. And it was like the Willy Wonka ticket. He was just, here it is. And my movie script had two pictures in it. Two. And the first one was on the cover. Rachel Hendricks, the beautiful Rachel Hendricks that played Hannah. And my husband looked at me and he said, she looks so much like you. Wow, you know, you could be related. And I said, yes, we could. And everything was welling up inside of me, and I'm so excited. And he had the fireplace going for me and my favorite room. And here I sat down and I started reading, and I had no idea what I was getting into. And I'm reading and I start crying because of the story that was being presented. And I got to page 90, and here it was. You see, movie scripts are about 120 pages long, and I got to page 90, and I hadn't seen my character yet. And I thought, they've either played a really bad joke on me, or they've forgotten my part. Yeah. And there was the second picture. I can't tell you what the picture was yet. And I just cried. And then I started reading the character Jasmine Guy. You remember Jasmine Guy, right? And I'm weeping and weeping, and she's talking about me. Not Cindy Hastings. She's talking about me, a broken down woman that had been written now in a film script. And then I turn the page and I'm reading a little more, and it talks about me meeting my husband and telling him what I had done and seeking forgiveness. And you see, I had to do that with my beautiful husband. 6-7 years into my marriage, I had to sit with my godly husband and say, I'm sorry. I can't give you any more babies. And I took the life of one. And I'll never forget, you see, because he wrapped his arms around me. It was the arms of Christ. And that was in the movie. And you see, I knew that it had been written for me. And as an actress does, a good actress, you see, I started my preparation for this film. And I found myself once again in the bathroom, ladies. But this time I was in the bathroom, and I got in the bathtub and I locked the door. And I turned the water on, and I sat there with this film script. And I cried out to God and I said, I want more. I want more. And in that moment, he called me to confession. And I confessed my sin of my abortion to him. And the moment that I confessed it, you see, he opened the floodgates for me. Literally opened the floodgates. He showed me my little girl that I had aborted in heaven. And then, in the next moment, he showed me a sea of women's faces. This is 2010. And he said, this is for them, not for you. And I went back, and I had my human nature. I just wanted to go back to that little girl. But you see, he knew what was coming and the next journey. And I got onto that film set, and I walked into a room, and I stood before Rachel Hendricks. And my gift from God was that I got to stand in front of a young girl that would have been the age of my daughter. And I got to look her in the eyes. And I felt shame. I didn't even know how to grasp the emotion that was running through my body. But you see, God did.
And in the next scene, Rachel leaves the beautiful note that says, "I forgive you." And you see, in that moment, that scene that was between me and my Savior, because I got to sit in the lap of Jesus, He held me. And He said to me over and over again, "You have been forgiven. It is done." And what you don't see was a beautiful woman that was my wardrobe specialist, and she came over when they cut, and she held me, and she wiped the tears and the snot from my face. And I grieved my baby, and she rejoiced in her 3-month old, and we held each other, though, in the bond of women. And the next scene, I go and I sit before a man that I don't know. And I share with him. And what happens? He throws his arms around me and shows me once again the love of Christ. You see, that is how our Savior works. He did it through a film script for me, a true healing. I have to tell you that the second picture in that film script, because this doesn't happen, movies don't come with pictures. The second picture that was before me, y'all know who Gianna Jessen is, right? The movie was inspired by Gianna. Gianna wrote a song, and I don't know if any of you are aware of the song, but it was called Ocean Floor. It was played in the movie. The picture that was in the middle of my film script was the beautiful picture of the chapel where Hannah and the priest meet. Do you remember this picture? Do you remember? That is where I had filmed Casting Crowns Slow Fade 2 years before. Wow. And then, you see, the way our Father works is this. He knew the journey that I was about to take, that I was going to be speaking to people and women and men all over this world. Well, you see, I don't like flying. I'm just going to be real honest with you. But when God calls, I have learned you get out of the boat. And you see, the planes do this, and they do this. Last year, I was in Los Angeles for a total of 6 weeks. Can you imagine how many planes I was on? In the fall, I spent 62 days straight in 32 cities. Lots of planes. On my way to my first official speaking event, God knew that Him and I needed to spend time together. And He knew that the plane was bouncing for 4.5 hours and He wasn't going to get Sherry back on a plane again. So He called me to worship. He called me to put my headset on and spend time with Him and pray that we weren't going down. As I put my headset on, I pushed play. And there it was, Ocean Floor by Gianna Jessen. I couldn't have queued it up better if myself. And I just sat there as tears once again rolled down my face, those beautiful God nods. And I tell you, as I begin to wrap here, you see, this entire project for 20 years had its hand of God on it. And He does things like that. You're never too old. You're never too young. He calls, "Get out of the boat." That song, Ocean Floor, was playing, and I quote the scene from the church scene and the song that was singing in my ear. I look back on all my days and how I was blessed. I wasn't all I could have been that I could face, but I love my God and my family with no regrets. In this quiet, I have changed, and I can hear my God call my name. End of quote. You see, the beautiful thing about our living word is this. Our Savior, oh how greatly we have been forgiven. And how grateful I am that my Savior did not come for the righteous, but he came for the sinner. He came for me, and he came for you. And he shed his blood. And I want to tell you, if you are a person tonight that is sitting with anything of a burden, you see, God has already won. He has already won the mind wars for us. By his blood, he has won them. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinks he is, think on him, because we are his. The Old Testament tells us we are sinners. As I started my speaking tonight, before BC Christ, we were sinners. In the New Testament, over 60 times, he calls us saint. Paul refers to his life when he looks back at the sinners. But he refers to the saints of Christ. I implore you. It has been done. It has been done on the cross. We have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful that he came and that he died, and that we are fighting for life, because we don't know the little babies that are coming every day and who they are and what they are going to be. And I am so excited to see that you are people fighting for life. It was used against us that we have a war on women. No, we have a war on life. From old to young, we have a war on life. It is God's battle. He has already won it. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here tonight and share my testimony with you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's go quiet. Do you want to, are you hanging with me, or do you want to just maybe go?
If you want to just say, do okay.
Before Sherry goes, I just want to invite any of you that have any questions for Sherry. You can raise your hand if there's anything that you want to know or were wondering about as she was speaking while we have her here. And thank you again, Sherry.
Thank you. Okay. I'm looking. The bright light is going off in my face. Yes, sir.
Have you met Jenna Jensen?
I have. Great question. I've met Gianna. She's an amazing woman, and she is a fighter for life. Gianna and I, we had the pleasure of spending off and on many weeks before during press release for October Baby. And a little tidbit, I will tell you this. I sat in, and we all have seen October Baby. I could recite it to you. And Gianna, you know, they actually had given us a time when we could start leaving, you know, if we didn't want to sit. And Gianna sat every single time in press and watched this film.
And it was so incredible because she would sit there and she would laugh and she would cry. And she would just, she was such a positive light for so many. And, you know, I love Gianna said that she really had gone through so many emotional roller coasters watching October Baby. And it was a blessing for me to spend that time with her because I was the post-abortive mom. I would have been the woman that have, you know, done that to her. And so her and I had a very special bond. And we got to talk about a lot of very personal, beautiful things. She's incredible. Thank you. I thought I saw somebody over here. I see a lady in the back. Yes, yes. Yes. That's a great question. Thank you for that. I don't know if everybody heard, but about writing to me, or have I heard stories that have been touched, or people that have been touched through October Baby. I will tell you that I receive emails, Facebook messages, private messages from people now all over the world that share their story with me. And I will tell you this much, what God has done in my life and being able to hear these stories, they would knock your socks off, literally knock your socks off. I've woken up to several of them, and I literally am so overwhelmed that my face is on the floor for what God is doing in allowing people to be released from burdens and shame that they've carried for so long. The stories now are reaching. I received just recently a story from Australia, a woman from Germany, men as well that have not talked about it for, you know, 20 years. And I'll tell you, you know, the stories, I will share this with you, most of the stories would break your heart. Women and men that have gone through abortion at the ages of 12 and 13 years old, and sometimes two or three, and they're just trying to heal and recover from it. And they're beautiful, incredible people. And I think that what's happening right now is that we are going to see a wave of stories that are going to come out, and they are going to share their stories and say, "You cannot hold me down from this any longer." It's incredible. Truly incredible. Thank you for that question. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes. Another great question. Well, first of all, how many people were able to catch the Bible series that was just aired on the History Channel? Okay. Do we all know who that was made by? Any of you know who that was made by? Mark Burnett, correct. You know, Mark Burnett is a pretty big person in Hollywood, along with his wife, Roma. And you know, I watched the Bible series, and some things I wish that would have been a little bit deeper and more profound in some things. But again, I felt like on a level it reached out to a lot of people. But you have people like that that are starting to see what they need to be doing. And because of where God has brought them, their name, their platform, the finances, they are able now to step out in faith and do these things. And you see, what happens when you're given in a certain amount of credibility in Hollywood to make good product, financially, you're in these circles, you've been there for a long time, you see, nobody can come up against them. you know. And what we're seeing is people like this all over the place. There are so many people and Christians and conservative values in Hollywood. It's really starting to rise. We have Gary Sinise that's a huge supporter, an incredible man. We, of course, have Clint Eastwood and John Voight on the conservative sides. We have, many, many Christians out there as well. And, you know, I was at a premiere not too long ago with, have you all heard of Samuel Goldwyn Mayer? Big name, right? And Mayor Goldwyn, he is a Jewish man, but you see, he loves faith-based movies. And he is somebody in Hollywood that nobody is going to reckon with, because if they want distribution. And he is behind, and he just keeps doing this to bring out more family movies. So we're seeing this, and you have to pray. You also have to pray for the media, because there's a lot of really great people in Hollywood that, you know, that don't end up on tabloids, that aren't, you know, busting up their marriages and doing all of these things. And what we need to do is we need to be the people that are putting out and saying, I'm going to go to these faith-based movies. I'm going to show my support for movies that tell the stories that I want to see. And I'm going to support the people in Hollywood that are there. I'm going to keep praying for them. And you start demanding from your media that they start showing people that have been married for 20 and 30 years and not people that are doing what they're doing on sets. That's what you need to do. And the moment you start speaking, you know, Denzel Washington, Meryl Streep, how many of them do you hear about them being married for 30 years, 20 years? It's there. I promise you. It is there. It is there. Thank you. There's one more. Do you want me to? Okay, can I take one more, or do you want me to wrap up? What is he going to say, right? He's like going, thanks for putting me on the spot, Sherry. We'll make this one quick, I promise. Right back here, there was a young lady. Yep. That's right. Amen, sister. You know what? We have to pray for Hollywood. It is a do or die situation. And you have to pray, even though you may not know the names, just pray for people. People used to say to me all the time after this movie came out, aren't you afraid what's going to happen to you? And because of the prayers of people like you all over this world, I have not had any backlash. In fact, if anything, I have had people come out with armor to be put in front of me. And you know what? That's what prayer does. Pray without ceasing, as we are God's people.
You have been listening to actress Sherry Rigby from the movie October Baby. Sherry Rigby was a presenter at the 2013 Bringing America Back to Life Symposium.